I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to ModPath Chat. It's my great pleasure today to host Dr. Christina Seizing and Professor Karen Gerstrom from the Departments of Oncology and Pathology at Lund University and Skane Hospital in Sweden. We will be discussing the recent open access manuscript that was published recently in Modern Pathology on the heterogeneity of molecular alterations in cases of advanced widely metastatic colorectal carcinoma. Thank you both for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, Dr. Netto. Thank you very much, Dr. Netto, for inviting us.
It's a pleasure, and we love the fact that we at Modern Path get to interact with a lot of European colleagues, and that makes ModPath chat even more exciting for our audience throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your study. Can you tell us, in a way of background, what was the problem and why you did the study in widely metastatic cancer of the colon?
Well, as a clinical oncologist, I often see patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis. And we see, I mean, if they don't have so much carcinomatosis, we treat them with cytoreductive surgery and HIPEC. But a lot of them relapse and they come to us in the oncology clinic. And we see that they answer quite poorly to the chemotherapy we give them. But I mean, we still see that some answer, but some don't have an answer at all to the chemotherapy. And that's when you get curious. You want to know why.
Yeah. Excellent. So finding predictor. So the response is not universal, and you're hoping to find other molecular markers and maybe heterogeneity of, I guess, is the concept in this study. Perfect. So can you tell us about your cohort? How many patients? I realize it's a small cohort, but extensively sampled, correct?
Yeah. In the end, we have a cohort with 7 patients, and we have 88 samples from different regions. We have from the primary tumors, the lymph nodes, the carcinomatosis, and in one case, also from a liver metastasis. Yeah.
So the peritoneal implants, and I noticed you also did implants and in addition to the primary. So up to 19, if I remember correctly, per patient, up to 19 samples. And what's the technique you used?
For every patient, we constructed what we call a single patient tissue chip. That is a tissue microarray block where we take samples from one or more tissue cores from each available block with primary tumor, with a peritoneal deposit, any lymph node metastasis, and so on. And alongside with the TMA construction, we also take cores for DNA extraction. So they can be considered parallel samples. So we can look both at the genetic heterogeneity, but also with this TMA block, we can really look at the heterogeneity also protein biomarkers.
And that you did by IHC. So it's basically you build a TMA block for each patient, and that's what you call the chip, and study it by immunohistochemistry. Great.
That is actually something I think we should use in the clinic also for when we look at biomarkers. I mean, we don't have any protein biomarkers in use really yet. Well, we do look at MMR, mismatch repair proteins, in the clinic now, but the heterogeneity is not really an issue there yet. I think in the future, hopefully, we will also have more predictive and prognostic biomarkers. And then I think this individual TMA block, what we call the single patient tissue chip, will be quite handy to cover for tumor heterogeneity.
So you can argue we'll also cut on cost and processing time and all that. That's a great idea. So tell me what from the protein. Let's focus first on the what were the markers that you found differences or similarities among samples.
Well, we looked at SAPI2, for example, and we found that the expression was surprisingly low, even for a metastatic cohort. Mm-hmm. But this has also been seen. There's a group in Uppsala in Sweden that have looked at SETB2 in metastatic colorectal cancer. And they also found that SETB2 was very low in peritoneal carcinomatosis as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was that in the primary too that did not express, or the primary did and the METs didn't, or the entire?
It was overall very low. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Being supposedly a marker of colorectal differentiation.
Yes, it is. And loss of SETB2 is generally associated also with worse prognosis, more aggressive tumors. But it cannot be explained that we have more right-sided tumors, because SETB2 is also lower in right-sided tumors. But I think we had a quite even distribution of sidedness in this.
So it's probably a reflection of the aggressiveness of the disease.
Yes, probably.
And other markers?
Yeah, we looked at RBM3 too. And that's a biomarker that our group has looked into quite a lot. And it has previously been shown to be associated with improved prognosis in metastatic colorectal cancer, and also as a marker for response to platinum-based chemotherapy. And it's hard to say so much about RBM3 in this cohort, but it was quite heterogeneous actually. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to talk about any pattern among the different patients, I think.
Yeah, we know from previous works it is often heterogeneously expressed, but what we saw that was potentially interesting was that it seemed to be associated, high expression appeared to be associated with worse, more aggressive tumors. I mean, even in this small series, that could be, but that needs to be validated, of course, in a larger series. But it could also be another indication of that colorectal cancer with peritoneal metastasis is actually quite a distinct disease, distinct from other types of metastatic colorectal cancer with metastasis to the lung or liver. So,
you can also argue for that if you see how the dissemination to the peritoneum goes, I guess. It can be lymphogenic or hematogenic, but it can also be a sort of direct spread to the peritoneum. Yeah.
Correct. Right. So maybe indicating is a different genetics and different phenotype. So, but the RBM3, just to make sure I understood, was heterogeneous within the same within the same patient in different samples. Is that or also between patients or both?
Yes, both of them. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. So, and finally, let's talk. So you did some deep sequencing, targeted sequencing, and for the usual suspects, can you tell us what you found in that in terms of KRAS and what have you?
Yeah, we saw that the known common mutations in metastatic colorectal cancer was very homogeneous. Mm-hmm. But we found some other unknown or not unknown, maybe
less common,
less common, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mutations, and they were more heterogeneous among the different samples, yeah,
within the same patient,
yeah, within the same patient, yeah.
So then that probably indicate, you know, like a truncal mutation, right? The alteration in KRAS, and as opposed to the clonal evolution within the same patient. That's where you see some more heterogeneity, but you kept the original KRAS change, yeah. For example, correct?
We also did some hierarchical clustering of the different samples for each patient. And we, in two patients, we found that the samples from the peritoneum was clustered together with lymph node samples before they clustered with samples from the primary tumor. That's also some sort of branching, but it's hard to say how the dissemination had gone, if it had been from the carcinomatosis to the lymph node or from the lymph node to the carcinomatosis. But yeah, it's so interesting.
That you could not conclude, but it's interesting that the lymph node and the peritoneum seems to be similar.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, very interesting, and these are the kind of things we don't know unless we do these detailed, extensive studies that are somewhat costly and time-consuming. But I realize this is one of Christina. This is one of your theses, PhD program. So you spend a lot of time on this, correct? Under this,
yeah, I spend a lot of time in front of my computer.
Well, but congratulations on your PhD. And can you tell us, either one of us, what is the next step? Maybe, Karin, you can comment on that in terms of these findings. How are they going to help us? Yeah, there is heterogeneity. There is, yes, a little differences in RBM or lack of SAD-B. How is that going to be helpful to our patient?
Well, we don't know yet. I think this study must be considered a preliminary. It has generated a lot of preliminary data and more questions, of course, to be answered. And we will actually launch an observational study on patients with metastatic colorectal cancer here in our hospital, it will start this fall, and it will include all patients with curatively treated metastatic colorectal cancer. So there will be patients with metastasis to the liver, lung, peritoneal carcinomatosis, and we plan to enroll at least 100 patients, and hopefully then we will really be able to decipher the potential differences between the different types of metastasis. And I think one of the interesting questions is to see if peritoneal carcinomatosis is an entity of its own, and should these patients be treated differently? Potentially, yeah, we don't know. But if it turns out for example, they have a very low expression of SAT-B2, maybe that could be a sign of that they should receive different treatment, different chemotherapy. It could be easy. I mean, because we need surrogate markers that are more easy to analyze. Like if we could identify immunohistochemistry markers, that would be ideal. But along the road, we will of course look at tumor genetic heterogeneity as well, and hopefully we can do phylogenetic modeling also. Then we need to go deeper, sequence more deeper. But we look forward to that study. We are running a similar study on pancreatic cancer, but the problem is pancreatic cancer, we don't have so much tumor because only 20% of the patients get resected. So I think we will start more on treatment biomarker studies here. That's what we are going to do. And the next step will be metastatic colorectal cancer.
Excellent. Sounds very exciting. And hopefully you'll come back and send us another publication to Modern Past to talk
great.
About it, about your finding after those 100 patient trial. It's been really a pleasure to have both of you. And it's so wonderful to see an oncologist being mentored, supervised by pathologists. Just to remind our pathology audience how important it is to work together how much oncologists have to gain from our expertise as pathologists. And congratulations both on the study and thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.